You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, a look at how companies collect our medical data and make billions of dollars in the process.
First, Wisconsin's Group Insurance Board voted yesterday to make a switch to self-insurance for state and local government employees. The move has been heavily debated over the last few years. It would mean that instead of buying insurance from HMOs, Wisconsin would pay medical benefits directly for about 250,000 employees. Full disclosure, Wisconsin Public Radio employees are included in that number.
The plan still has to be approved by the state legislature's budget committee. If it is, it would go into effect at the beginning of next year. Justin Sidnor joins us now for a look at what that would mean. He's the Leslie P. Schultz Professor in Risk Management and Insurance and an Associate Professor at the UW-Madison School of Business. Justin, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, give us a schooling here, a working definition of self-insurance. What is it?
So, you know, I think the definition we heard right at the top is just right. The self-insurance just means that you pay directly for healthcare bills as they come in, rather than paying an insurance company at the beginning of the year for premiums.
And the money that you pay into your health insurance and your employer does, it goes into some trust fund, and the money to pay for your medical bills comes out of that fund?
That's right. So the state will have to keep a fund to budget for these bills and pay out of that fund.
And how would this impact us in our healthcare? What could be the impact?
So for most people, you won't notice a direct impact. So this shouldn't change how you access doctors. You'll still get bills for out-of-pocket costs, but the doctors will still bill the insurance company. It will look pretty much like all insurance has looked before.
But this move has been in the works a while and quite contentious. Why?
Well, I think the reason it's been contentious is that it does represent a fairly large change in a pretty complicated and, for all intents and purposes, well-functioning system. So this is a move away from a system using many different small insurers towards a system that uses a fewer number of larger insurers.
And Wisconsin has been called a very competitive health insurance market, which is healthy. What would self-insurance potentially do to that?
So I think in terms of the implications for the whole market, it probably won't be massive, but there could be some impacts to some of the smaller health plans. We can see this, for instance, here in Dane County, where Group Health Cooperative would not be part of the new plan, but was one of the smaller players in the current system.
Governor Walker framed this as something that will ultimately help save the state money in his budget address. Here's a clip.
The Commission on Government Reform, Efficiency, and Performance reports that 46 states have some form of self-insured plan, and nearly half of those states are fully self-insured, including our neighbor, Minnesota. As you think about this reform, consider this. Across our state, employers, healthcare systems, schools, institutions of higher education, and others are successfully using self-insurance plans to make healthcare affordable for their employees and to make their dollars go further. We can do the same. Moving the state to a self-insured plan, we believe, will save Wisconsin taxpayers at least $60 million during this budget cycle.
Do you see this as a move that will help Wisconsin tax dollars go further?
I think there's a lot of uncertainty about whether that $60 million worth of savings will arise or not. Most large employers, when they switch to self-insurance, do save a few percentage points on their insurance costs. And for a massive program like ours, those few percentage points can add up to millions of dollars. The thing that makes us a bit different is that we're starting from a very unique and different position than most large employers. We currently have a interesting competitive bidding model using 17 different insurers. And so this change for us is more complicated, and it's less clear that we'll get the same savings that typical employers do.
The same bang for the buck.
That's right.
Yeah. We're talking with Justin Sidnor. He's the Leslie P. Schultz Professor in Risk Management and Insurance and Associate Professor at the UW-Madison School of Business, talking about this proposal on going to self-insurance for state employees. Governor Walker mentioned Minnesota. Minnesota self-insures and 20 states self-insure all state employees. So what draws Wisconsin lawmakers to this model?
So I think the big appeal is that it potentially saves some money, that couple of percentage points, by avoiding the fees that insurers charge to bear the risk of the program. They also like the idea of getting more access to the healthcare claims data of employees that they might be able to use to change the program over time and improve benefit structures, that sort of thing.
But that could also have, if they can have the ability to change benefit structures, isn't that something scary for state employees?
So I think it's always scary when you talk potentially about changing benefits. I think the important thing to keep in mind is that currently we have seen changes to benefit structure. There's nothing that prevents changes from the benefits being made now. Self-insurance would potentially just make it easier to have good data about the consequences of that.
This would affect thousands of state and local employees and their dependents. How could this affect the health insurance market overall in Wisconsin?
So the big potential impact that, you know, that could ripple through to the rest of the market is that by taking employees away from some of the smaller insurance players and concentrating them in some of the larger insurance players, we might make the overall system less competitive. And that over time could lead to increasing costs. If, for instance, some small providers drop out of our market or get consolidated with some of the larger players.
That would be a potential drawback. Any other drawbacks that you see?
I think the big thing is that we don't really know very much about how this will actually end up affecting the negotiations and the rates we get with providers. So right now, the insurance companies that we pay for our insurance have an incentive to hold down those costs directly. The idea with self-insurance is that you'll pay these similar sorts of companies to bid for you with hospitals and doctors for good prices, but there's a lot of uncertainty about whether that new system will be as effective as the current system.
Democrats have considered this as another hurdle for public sector employees and something that will reduce choices for employees. Do you think that's true?
There will be some reduction in choice. There will be certain smaller plans and some providers that will drop out. Group health cooperative that we've talked about here in Dane County is an example. But it shouldn't need to be a massive change for employees.
And one board member estimated that insurance purchased for state and local employees is only 10 to 15% of the total insurance market. Will switching those people to self-insurance have a large-scale impact?
I don't think we should anticipate to have a very large-scale impact, but it may have these sort of small impacts that accumulate over time by making the market a little bit less competitive.
If this goes into effect on January 1st, 2018, what might the transition process look like?
I actually think for the typical employee, you may barely notice. So unless you're currently using one of the plans that's not going to be in the system anymore, this may not change much of anything for you. It should be pretty seamless.
What are you watching in the weeks ahead and as this plays out in the legislature?
The main thing I would like to see is actually a lot more detail on where these projections of the cost savings are really coming from. What assumptions go into those cost savings and what potential risks to those cost savings have been considered?
What are some of those potential risks, briefly?
So I think the main thing is just exactly how the bidding is going to work and where exactly we think we're getting those cost savings from.
Thank you so much for being here, Justin. Appreciate it.
Glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
That was Justin Sidnor. He's a professor in risk management and insurance at the UW-Madison School of Business.